sometimes there are reasons why children of divorce no longer want to have an ongoing relationship with one of their biological parents. Sometimes that estrangement is a result of one parent alienating the children from the other parent. Rodney Webb is a divorced dad who would love to have a relationship again with his kids.
I haven't seen them for 2 years, and that hurts. The last time I tried, I sent their mother a message and said that I would like to explore the rekindling of a relationship with them, and if they were interested in that and willing, then I thought that we could go to see a counsellor and to start the process of rekindling a relationship. And she replied and said that she'd talked to the children about it and that it wasn't something that they wanted to pursue.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. What, if anything, can a mom or dad do if they have been cut off from their children post-divorce? We're going to have that conversation today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So have you guys joined the ranks of regular podcast consumers? I mean, are you listening to podcasts on a regular basis?
Yeah, every week.
I do.
I guess that's regular.
Yeah.
I do a workout and listen to a podcast every day. Not every day.
Are you using the app on your phone and
yes.
just downloading podcasts you like to listen to?
And yes.
Have you added Ron Deal? I guess you're not in a blended family, so it's not like it's something you'd listen to regularly out of your own need. But, you know, as people who are involved in the lives of husbands and wives and moms and dads, we need to know how to help our friends. We need to know how to empathize with what's going on with the blended families in our church, in our community, in our neighborhood. And Ron Deal's new podcast, Family Life Blended, we got a lot of people who have started listening to this, pretty excited about it. And they are benefiting if they're in a blended marriage or family, but they're also benefiting by helping people they know who are in step families. And as a pastor, you know, that's huge.
Oh, I was going to say how critical it is to have wisdom, help, practical advice available, and now a podcast. Every time I talk from the pulpit about any relationship issue, I have to know a good percentage of my audience is blended mm-hmm. or separated or second marriage. So you have to address all those, and now we have a podcast that goes, right, we got help for you.
Yeah.
I don't think the church has done a great job of helping the blended family, so this is such a great resource.
Well, and I love the fact that anytime I'm talking to somebody who's in a blended marriage, or I'm speaking to a large audience, I can say, here's what'll help.
Yeah.
Get a copy of Ron Deal's book, The Smart Step Family. Start listening to his new podcast, Family Life Blended. And you can just offer them something that you know. If they start listening to this, it's going to help them significantly. This is like getting continuing education for your step family. Ron sat down recently for one of the episodes in his podcast with Helen Wheeler, who is a licensed professional counselor, and she works a lot with couples who are going through separation, divorce, stepfamily situations. And together, Ron and Helen had a conversation with Rodney and Lisa Webb. And Rodney and Lisa give leadership to Family Life Blended in New Zealand. We've got a ministry to blended families in New Zealand. Rodney and Lisa are leading that, and they're working together with Ron. And they talked about the fact that for Rodney and Lisa, there have been some significant challenges with their stepfamily relationship. Most significantly, they've had to deal with ex-spouses who have created alienation and division and separation with the children, the biological children, causing them to not want to relate to a former spouse or to a new step-parent.
You know, we've got 5 children and between us, and we've had 4 of them alienated, and my youngest girl was the only one that stayed and then transversed between the 2 houses and having to deal with the negativity from the other house and then also her older sisters. Once she chose to stay and remain 50-50. So it's so complex and so heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Rodney, tell us a little bit about your family. Paint a picture for our listener.
So I've got two children. I've got a boy and a girl, 14 and 17 at the moment. And Lisa's got three daughters. So that's the five children between mm-hmm. us. They're all pretty close in age.
And how long have you guys been married?
So, well, that's a putting me on the spot there.
Yeah, it's funny. It's not very good with all these dates. We've been, next year it'll be 5 years. So we've been married for 4.5 years so far.
Okay.
But together for 6 and coming up to 7. Mm. Yeah. Early next year will be 7.
And did this distancing, this alienation, if I can use that word, with your children, had that started before you guys got married, or really has it started just since you've been married?
Well, we were actually, we weren't living together, but we were together for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And at that time, my ex-husband was living overseas. Mm-hmm. And that first 2 years, it was really actually quite good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had the trying to blend the kids together, and but we did not have any influence of people speaking negatively to them at the other house. But when my ex-husband came back to New Zealand, and then he actually met a partner probably 6 months after that, and that's when things just changed. Mm. His, the way that he was interacting with me, it changed. It was very aggressive. It was sort of like, what's going on here? So the stepmom coming on board on the other house, and then we've also had the challenge of that Rodney's ex-wife and her partner became socially friends with my ex-husband and his partner.
And they started talking.
And that just became, I can't even put the words, because the kids would be socialising, the five of them would be socialising at the other houses, and then the four adults would just be going hammer and tong about Rodney and I.
Mm.
Like my girls, before the alienation started to fully come in, they would come back and go, Ben and Courtney's mum, she's just made a life out of hating Rodney. That's all she talks about.
Mm.
So we would hear this stuff coming back, and you're just sitting there going, so, you know, you start communicating, going, well, it's probably not a good idea to do this. Why don't we just keep the stuff, you know, up at our level? And then that just seemed to inflame things ridiculously.
Even more.
Yeah.
So when you started, Rodney, when you started hearing those things, like, what did you do?
Well, you're between a rock and a hard place, because I was thinking at the time that you're probably better off just to let it ride.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really in a position where you can confront other parties that are saying it.
And it almost makes you look bad if you do confront.
Yeah, that's right. And you're in a position where you just add fuel to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I often say you have some influence, actually quite a bit of influence when you're married to somebody. You have far less influence when you are no longer married to somebody. You know, that just begins to dissipate fast. And so even though you were saying, you know what, we'll just kind of deal with our household and be in charge of that and we'll be good over here and assume that they will do that over there, that's not what was happening. They were getting into your business. They were altering the relationship between you and your kids.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that became, I couldn't quite understand it. You know, like the children, my girls would come back. Probably yours are a little bit more silent. And that's a whole nother story too. And after we've progressed through the alienation, my girls have started to come back. But Rodney's children, nothing, nothing for the last 2 years.
Hmm.
Like nothing, even though we've tried now to contact and stuff like that. So even, but they were silent about it. My girls were very vocal. They were very angry. They would scream into my face. And you'd be going, can we just talk about this? Let's just step back and let's talk about this.
Okay, so let me just make sure I'm understanding. Scream into your face, the things, the repeating the things that they had heard, or that they were upset about what they had heard, or?
Yes, I think there was a bit of a journey with that. Once he actually got involved with another partner, the tone of it just changed. It was the way that he spoke to me or communicated to me, it was quite aggressive. Then my girls would come back and say, oh, Mom, just tell me what happened from your point of view. What happened in the divorce? This is why you're putting them to bed at nighttime. You know, like you're lying in bed with them, you know, talking about stuff as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, Mom, just tell me from your point of view. And I'm saying, girls, or whichever one I was talking to, it's not really for you. Let's just wait until you grow up a little bit. No, just tell me about this bit. And probably stupidly on my behalf, you sort of, when you're in that, you're in that sort of close situation, you're thinking, oh, well, look, you know, this is blah, blah, blah. But then they'd go off and talk to Dad, and Dad would say, your mum's a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come back and they'd say, Dad says, you're a liar, Mum. You're a liar. And I'm talking.
They would begin to repeat that.
Absolutely. They said, you're a liar and, you know, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. And I'm like, but I'm doing everything the same. And then I also had the complication that Mark's partner, she would text them when they were with me, and we were starting to have challenges with, like, for example, one of them wanted to go back and do jazz ballet. This would have been the third time that she started jazz ballet, and she quit after the first term every time. And anyway, so you had this, I'm like, well, no, let's not do that yet. You know, I want to do this. I'm like, well, you know, blah, you know, as you do, you sort of, the negotiation starts. And then the other house is, well, why won't you let her do it? And then she'll come back and then she'll be getting texts from this, from the stepmom, and saying, oh, I don't know why your mum is being so difficult about this. I would let you do it. I love you so much. We think you're amazing. I saw these texts. So you're having all this undercurrent stuff happening. And then the children, they're so angry. I mean, I can still see their eyes being so angry with me. Why don't you let me do it?
And the manipulative message there is, we love you. Your mom doesn't.
Absolutely.
And that's their anger coming through. They're reacting as if you don't love them. Like somehow they've forgotten all the things that you've done for them through the years and the quality of the relationship. And now all of a sudden they see you as somebody who doesn't love them and they feel it's unfair and mistreated.
Yes.
Well, again, I just want to remind our listener that we're talking today about really difficult co-parenting situations, including when there's alienation going on. Helen, let me come back to you for a minute, because I think we have to come back for a second and just go, okay, wait a minute, what's going on here? Now, I know you can't talk specifically. Let's not talk about Rodney and Lisa's situation. But when parents do this type of thing and they are manipulating their child and it's not a personality disorder related, why would somebody do this?
I see it a lot of times if they are what I call the dumpy in the divorce. And so it's about revenge. And what better weapon to use than the person that other parent loves and cares about? That's the ultimate weapon.
Yeah.
They can use. So I see that
so,
a lot.
So they were hurt in the divorce, didn't want the divorce, and now they're kind of getting their revenge through the children.
Yeah,
that's an interesting one, because both Lisa and I are effectively the dumpees. Mm-hmm. We were the ones who were left. And we're sort of left sitting there going, well, actually, you made a choice and you've got the life that you want. So why are you still dumping on me?
Mm-hmm. Except that it's your fault that they made that choice.
Don't you know?
It's your fault.
Yes.
And if you hadn't been fill in the blank, then I wouldn't have had to make that choice. Therefore, it's ultimately still your fault.
Yeah, so blame is at the root of this. Whether you're the dumper or the dumpee, you know, if I blame you for what's going on in my world, in my life, then, man, I'm going to control everything and I'm not going to let you control the kids. I'm going to keep them close to me, keep them distant from you.
Both of you, I noticed when you were talking about when your respective former spouses came upon new relationships, then it accelerated.
What is that about, you think? It's a catalyst, but why?
I think there's a couple things in action. Sometimes when we've got a stepmom, the stepmom wants to come in and be the mom. And so then there's this competition that goes on, who's the best mom. And so I think there's probably some of that.
Yeah, so then her husband takes up for her and starts working the kids.
Absolutely.
And on their end, you can see how they're wanting to be a blended family. They're wanting to merge their home and the kids to feel comfortable there with the stepmother. But they just take that desire to the point of manipulation with the kids.
And with women, a lot of times when they get a new man in their life, this new man wants to fix everything. And again, I'm using air quotes there. He wants to fix everything. So he's going to come in and try and take over, and she is going to let him. And so I have situations where moms are saying to the kids, well, this is going to be your dad. You're so lucky that you have this dad because, you know, your dad isn't worth anything. So you're so lucky to have it. So it works on both sides. Although statistically, I have more alienating females than I do alienating males, but I have some of both. And so it's a little bit different, but in both cases, it's exacerbated by remarriage. Or sometimes they don't even wait till they're married and they're already moving the prospective step parent into that role even before the marriage takes place. And, you know, something I wanted to come back to with you, Lisa, and not talk to you only because I see this a lot, is you want to defend yourself. Mm. And we end up talking about the content of what the kids are saying rather than the hurt, the pain, the frustration, the confusion. Hmm. I'm sorry you feel that way. It looks like you're really confused. I can see that you're caught in the middle. And join them with empathy rather than trying to tell them, no, you got the wrong story. Because in a way, you're saying to them, yeah, but you're lying.
Hmm.
You know, what you're saying is not true.
Yep.
And so it's a really difficult, there's a lot of counterintuitive stuff, and that's one of them where you actually don't correct them. You just join them on the pain, the confusion, the frustration that they're feeling.
Yeah, that is counterintuitive, and I know that's really difficult because in that situation, your heart is sinking because my kid's telling me I don't love them. Like, I'm a liar. Like, I'm not a liar. Like, where's this coming from? And you see that pouring out, and of course you want to counter that. Of course you want to squash that.
Yes.
And in the back of your mind, you know where this is coming from. You know it's stimulated by the other home. And so you don't want them to win because that's just wrong. And so it absolutely pulls you into that defensive mode.
Absolutely. I was confused. I was hurting because my children were being ripped away from me. So I had that all emotions of, and I didn't know what to do. Like I wasn't fully aware of what was happening and what the impact of this negative talk was. I was still right back at the beginning and it was very confusing and I had to deal with my own emotions. So therefore my kids would be upset with me, but then I would respond to that and I would be crying. I'd have to run out of the room and go to my room and cry. And I just didn't know how to handle it. I didn't have anything in my toolbox.
An empathetic way of handling that particular thing would be to say, it must be terrible for you to feel like I don't love you.
Yeah.
I do love you and I always will.
And of course, that assumes you can get past your own panic and then tune into what's going on with the child. So I agree that that's the ideal response. But that is a very, very difficult situation in which you have to hold on to your tears, in your case, Lisa, and set them aside and try to respond to the child. And if you can get empowered to that place, the idea there is the child hears that you connect in with them. And then I'm assuming, Helen, that you're wanting to begin to slowly lead them towards a different understanding.
One of the ways that I work with kids that in my practice is I try and show them that there is another possible explanation for whatever it is they're saying. Is it possible that there's another way of looking at it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that there's another explanation for what you're saying? And sometimes just putting a little bit of doubt in there gives the parent who's hurting, the rejected parent, gives them enough space to come in and address those places later on.
I want to just stop for a minute and talk to the listener who may be in Rodney in your shoes. Lisa said her kids have reconnected, but your kids still haven't.
No, they haven't.
And as you sit and listen to us talk about this, I'm wondering what's going on in your heart.
It's pretty hard. I love my kids.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting differences between Lisa and I is that my kids weren't vocal.
Hmm.
They were quiet. And I didn't really know what was going on in their world in terms of where they stood with the alienation. I knew that they were hearing things about me and things about Lisa that weren't right.
But you didn't know the depth of it.
I didn't know the depth of it. For me, I believed that they knew me, that they knew that I loved them. I took them to their football games. I took them to ballet, to horse riding. I was an active father, active in their life. And I believed that they actually knew me and that my relationship with them was the most important thing, and that they saw that. And no matter what other people said, that they actually were secure in their knowledge of our relationship. And then it proved not to be the case. And yeah, so I haven't seen them for 2 years. And that hurts.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any contact with them?
No, I haven't. The last time I tried, I sent their mother a message and said that I would like to, it's been 2 years, I'd like to explore the rekindling of a relationship with them. And if they were interested in that and willing, then I thought that we could go to see a counselor and to start the process of rekindling a relationship. And she replied and said that she'd talk to the children about it and that it wasn't something that they wanted to pursue.
Hmm. And the waiting, it's just got to kill you. I mean,
it does. It really does. But I mean, I guess part of what you do as a Christian is you go back to the Word and you use the Word as your yardstick for your life and for where you are and how you should respond in certain situations. And I guess I draw some comfort from the story of the prodigal son. The father brought up two sons. I would assume he brought them up both the same. They're in the same household. And as you know, one of them decided he wanted his inheritance and he went off, had nothing to do with his father or his brother anymore, went off and lived his own life and did his own thing. And even though my children haven't received an inheritance and they're not adults and they're, you know, haven't made a willing decision in such a way as he did to go off and squander things, they are still removed from me. They're removed from the relationship from me, just like the prodigal son removed himself from his father's relationship. And the father didn't go chasing after him. The father remained available. He still loved him. He was ready, willing, and able to accept him for what he was and who he was when he came back.
Yeah.
And he remained healthy. And for me, I really see that that's how I have to be. So I have to maintain a healthy relationship with Lisa, healthy relationship with the other children that are in my life, healthy relationship with God, and be the healthy person, healthy parent, for when or if they decide to actually rekindle a relationship.
Well, we've been listening to an episode of Ron Deal's podcast, Family Life Blended. And I want to encourage our listeners, if you'd like to hear the entire conversation and hear Ron and Helen and Rodney and Lisa talk about the huge breakthrough that happened in Lisa's relationship with her daughter, and hear Helen talk about never giving up on your relationship with your kids, even if there is alienation. Go to familylifetoday.com and get information about the Family Life Blended podcast. There are a number of episodes available you can listen to, you can subscribe to it, along with other Family Life podcasts. Again, go to familylifetoday.com for more information on the Family Life Podcast Network. I just have to tell you guys that Kiwi accent, I could listen to that all day long.
I was thinking the same thing. What a beautiful, deep voice.
But what a challenge.
Oh,
man. What a challenge.
What a challenge to be alienated from your kids because an ex-spouse is poisoning the well or saying things that aren't true or just trying to drive a wedge between you and them and trying to know, how do I deal with this in a way that honors God? How do I deal with it in a way that heals the hurt in my own heart that I'm experiencing? This is a real difficult path for folks to be on.
I think it would be one of the most difficult paths for a parent to be alienated from their children. And it would be really hard not to become bitter and hopeless. And so I love that as we put our eyes on Jesus, that can help, but also have some practical tools of what that looks like.
Yeah, I was thinking the chaos, the anger, the resentment, the hardened heart that happens. And yet Rodney takes us to one of the most beautiful stories in Scripture and is pointing toward the father of a prodigal son. And you know that father in that story in Luke 15 feels the same thing as his son rebels and walks away. And yet he gives us a picture of the father's heart, which is Rodney's point is like, okay, what would it look like for me who's been hurt to run to the mailbox, run down the road after even my former spouse, my, you know, that's the one stopping what I want. That's impossible, apart from the heart of the father being our heart. And so it's like every parent out there, every blended family is like, man, that's where you go. You've got to fall on your face and ask God to give you his heart. Otherwise, you'll just live in bitterness, and it's no way to live. And your kids will be the result of that and feel that. And yet, if you get the father's heart, it's possible. God's heart can transform our heart to a softness, to a place where God can bring something beautiful out of this mess.
That's the grace of God.
And you guys know in October, Ron Deal and the Family Life Blended team are putting together an event. The Summit on Step Family Ministry is going to be held in Chesapeake, Virginia, October 24th and 25th. And the theme this year is Step Families in Crisis. This is an event designed to help people in ministry, whether it's in a local church or in parachurch ministry, those who are helping to work with blended families, to help know how to navigate families that are experiencing this kind of crisis. You can find out more about the 2019 Summit on Step Family Ministry. Again, the dates October 24th and 25th in Chesapeake, Virginia. Go to familylifetoday.com for more information. There is special pricing available now. So again, go to familylifetoday.com and the information is available there. You know, as I said, our goal here at Family Life is to help strengthen marriages and families, to effectively develop godly marriages and families. Whatever your family situation is today, we want it to be a marriage and family that honors and glorifies God. And to that end, our team has put together a fitness guide for marriages for this summer. There's no heavy lifting involved, no weights, and no jogging, although there's strength training and cardio. I mean, we're talking about getting your heart racing a little faster and about strengthening your marriage relationship. This Stronger Forever Marriage Fitness Guide is available for a free download, and we've had a ton of these downloaded already, and I think the reason is because when you download, you become automatically eligible. You're automatically entered in a contest, and one couple is going to win a week on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise in February of 2020. There's no purchase necessary to enter. The contest began back on July 1st, 2019. It ends on August 30th, 2019. Official rules can be found at familylife.com/strongerforever. So strengthen your marriage this summer, and maybe we'll see you on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise in 2020. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us on Monday when we're going to talk about how we can help young men grow into greatness. Dr. Gary Chapman will be here along with our friend and Family Life Weekend Remember speaker Clarence Schuler. They've written a book that's designed to engage teenage young men around these subjects. And we'll talk about that Monday. Hope you can join us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.